Planet Shakers. My name is Andy, and I'm one of the pastors here at Planet Shakers Church. I am so excited that you're joining us today. We have a powerful message from Pastor Russell, and I know that God is going to use it to speak to you. So let's check it out.
Acts chapter 3, it says this. Now Peter and John, everyone say hello. Now Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Everyone say Beautiful. To ask for alms, in other words, ask for money. For those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. But I love this next line. But what I do have, I give you. What I do have, I give you. What I do have, I give you. Today I want to speak to you about what do you have? Let's go. What do you have in you? In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And they took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received strength. So he was leaping, stood up and walked and entered the temple, walking, leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew he was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. Here's a guy, his whole life, who's had to beg. His situation hasn't changed. No one has really helped his situation. He's accepted his lot in life. And so many times we can learn from this story is, you know, where there's no glory, and you know, the Bible says we carry the glory of God, we carry the presence of God, we carry the weight of heaven. And I'm going to talk about what you carry today. Where there's no glory, we adapt to our environment. This was called the gate Beautiful, but it wasn't beautiful for this guy. You see, when you understand the glory of God, you live a life of celebration. You live a life that praises. You see, praise gets you in through the gate. The Bible says, enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. So praise is what gets you in. Now, we don't need more people complaining in life. We need some praisers who would say their God is big and strong. Gee, what? Jesus, he is strong and powerful. So praise. You know what praise is? Praise is a hunger indication. Where there is a lack of praise shows many times there's a lack of hunger. Worship is a weapon God gives you against the enemy. And the enemy in our lives is what the devils try to do, situations try to do. And worship to God actually is a weapon to defeat that. This guy, just note really quickly, there was no glory, so he adapted to his environment. So many times we adapt to our environment instead of change our environment. God has never called us to live in adaption. He's called us to live in revelation. So he adapted. And here this guy, instead of being delivered from what he was carrying, he created a substitute. He became a beggar. Where there was no glory, there was no miracles. But the situation is, in the temple, which was supposed to carry the glory of God, that no longer was there. So here's a beggar who's not living in glory, is sitting by the gate, Beautiful, and inside there's supposed to be the glory of God, but that's not happening. So both were lame, either on the outside or the inside. They were both dysfunctional. You saw... Oh my, this iPad drives me crazy sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? You go to press something and it goes, flicks off to some other place. That's what it just did. Okay, cool. Here we go. See, what happened to the beggar is he accepted his situation instead of saying, I got something greater for my life. I'm just going to stay here. you know what? We can easily just accept our situation and say, well, this is my lot. No, 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 no. There's more for you because of what you carry. Even when good times come, people who have accepted their lot in life never step into that goodness. You see, many people go from expectation to adjustment. In other words, I'll just adjust to my situation. I won't expect much. But God doesn't want you to live without expectation. He wants you to live with expectation on how great He is and what He can do in your life. Expectation is the cousin of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we need to come with expectation. You need to turn up to your school, your university, your workplace with expectation. Just don't clock in and clock out. Expect something good to happen. You don't need to just turn up to church and say, I'm just doing my church thing. Come with expectation to encounter God. Don't just do your devotion in the morning and read the Bible and go, I'm just reading my Bible. Come with expectation. It's because expectation is what shifts things in people's lives. What you expect is what you get. All his expectation was to get a few arms, a few bit of money. Here's the amazing thing, watch this. He's in the right place at the right time, but has the wrong mindset. He's in the right place at the right time, but has the wrong mindset. What does that mean? You can be in the right place at the right time and have the wrong view of life and not receive what you're about to receive. So here's poor Peter and John walking by, and they go, he says, can I have some money? Oh, no, sorry, but what we do have, we give to you. So I want to talk to you about what you have. If God lives in you, what you carry. Turn to your neighbor and say, what do you have? Second, we're gonna do a lot of scripture really quickly today. 2 Corinthians 4 says, but we have this treasure, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Now we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not of ourselves. See, God puts greatness in you, His glory in you, breakthrough in you, and He's so awesome that He'll put it in these fragile clay jars who aren't perfect, who make mistakes, who mess up in life. But God says, I'm still going to put myself in you. And because when God created you, He created you in His image. He didn't create, see, you're not a monkey that got lucky. You weren't created from a big bang. Oh, actually you were. God spoke and the world was created. There was a big bang because His word brings power. But you weren't created. You didn't evolve. You were created in the image of God. In fact, sin is what evolves you into something that is not as great as what God created you to be in. What do you have in you? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, did you know that your body is a temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? So in other words, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit lived in a sanctuary, a building, in a tent. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, lives in you when you invite Him into your life. That's pretty cool. You have God in you. You see, what does that mean? You have God's glory in you. Well, let me show you some of the things that this means. Colossians 1:27, it says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, watch this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what do you have in you if you have Christ living in you? Hope. You are hope bringers. This world needs hope. It doesn't need cynicism, it needs hope. And you and I have God living in us. He's not a cynic, He doesn't sit back. He knows everything, He doesn't have to sit back, you know, it's gonna be like that. No, 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 He knows the end from the beginning. But He still believes, He still brings hope. You are created to bring hope wherever you go. You're a hope bringer. Hope. That word hope means to expect. So you've got to bring God expectation to your world. What else? Haggai chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I'll fill this temple with glory, says the Lord." What is in you? You have the desire of all the nations. They want, every person is created with a God-shaped hole in their life. Every person. When you receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior and ask Him to forgive you of your sin and you come into relationship with God, you have God come and dwell in you, and now that God-shaped hole is being filled by Him. So wherever you go, you have the desire of the nations. People desire to encounter a God, even though if they don't believe it, they want to encounter something great. And the only great thing that is really great is God. I was in Adelaide yesterday. I flew back yesterday. I was there Friday. And Adelaide's cool. I like Adelaide because I was brought up in Adelaide. And I like the road out of Adelaide to Melbourne. It's awesome. But I like Adelaide because there's some cake shops I like, which I shouldn't like, but I do like. You know, there's experiences of my past that, you know, really good cafes and stuff like that. I like it. I went to a really great steak restaurant. It was really good. Anyway, on Saturday, I'm driving from the hotel to the airport, and I got an Uber. And I had a lady Uber driver. And she is from one of my favorite continents in the world. I just came from South Africa. Africa is one of my favorite continents in the world. I now say, you know, we're a church for all. We have 150 nations represented in our church, 150 plus. I also was just in New Zealand as well. And I tell now that Noah is marrying Amy, I'm telling everyone in New Zealand that I'm now a Kiwi. My grandchildren are going to have Maori blood in them. So I've got a lot of cousins now all over New Zealand and Australia and the Pacific Islands and all over the world. So I call them all my cousins. Cousins, now they're my cousins. I said, you know, I've got cousins that are musical. I've got cousins that are lawyers, I've got cousins that are doctors, I've got cousins that are sporting people, I've got cousins that are gangsters, I've got every cousin there is. I now go for the All Blacks. I hate the Wallabies. I go, I'm an All Black fan. You know, you say, you traitor. No, I go for the winners. Anyway, so I'm in this cab, Uber with this lady, and I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from South Sudan. I'm like, awesome. We love the Sudanese. I said, we got so many Sudanese in our church. She goes, you have a church? I said, yes, it's amazing. I said, what do you do? She says, I'm an Uber driver. I said, that's fantastic. I should have known I'm in an Uber. She says, I have 7 children. I said, 7 children? That's unbelievable. That's more than half a cricket team. Anyway, and I said, what does your husband do? She says, my husband, he's a pastor. I said, oh, you're a Christian? She said, yes. I said, you know, some of the greatest people in the world are Sudanese African people. They're amazing. I love everybody. We're a church that is for every culture, every nation. I always like asking where people are from because my family, we're from everywhere. My dad was born in India. My grandfather was born in Wales. Well, he's really born in England, but he was raised in Wales. I was born in Papua New Guinea. My mum was born in Queensland. That's a whole nother country, Queensland. That's sort of part of Australia, sort of. They speak different up there. They speak slower. Everything shuts at 8 o'clock at night. There's no cafe. There's one street that has cafes open beyond 10 o'clock. That's called Park Street. And there's one, anyway, does have the Gold Coast, I suppose. Anyway, so I'm like, that's cool. She goes, I used to go to Influencers Church. I'm from Influencers Church. My dad was the pastor there and my brother's now the pastor. And she looked at the Uber thing. She says, oh, you're Russell Evans. I'm like, Yes, and the guy traveling with me, he goes, he's Christian royalty. I'm like, shut up. And so she goes, oh, and I'm like, oh no. I don't know what's going to happen. She goes, oh, I'm so excited. And I'm like, why? She said, because you were preaching 18 months ago on a Friday night. I said, no, my brother's a pastor. She said, no, no, you were there 18 months ago on a Friday night, which I was. And I said, yeah. She goes, and you said that God was healing someone with a liver condition. I said, yeah. I couldn't remember that, but yeah. She said, I was that person. And I cried out to God. She goes, you probably don't remember, but I screamed. And I'm like, no, I don't remember that. And she said, the power of God came upon me, and it's 18 months later, and I have no liver condition, no liver issue. It was awesome. I was like, brilliant. And then I begin to talk about, I said, well, how many hours do you work? And she said, well, I started this morning. I go home for lunch, have lunch with my kids. There's seven of them. And then I finish at 12 a.m. And then I go to church on Sunday morning. I go to the church on Friday night. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And as I'm there, I'm starting looking for money because I've got some money in my wallet. I've got some New Zealand money. It's not quite as good as Australian money. It's a little lower than Australian money, but it still works. And so I got my New Zealand dollars out because I'm part Kiwi now. And so April's going, no, you're not. You're Australian. No, I'm part Kiwi now. I'm in your family. They call me Walker Evans now. I'm changing my name to Walker because Walker's cooler in New Zealand. You know, it was funny. I was getting interviewed by a radio because now I introduced myself as Noah Walker's future father-in-law, and now I'm popular in New Zealand. Wasn't popular at all. I'm getting interviewed by this lady, and she says, well, we had Stan Walker come in, and he said his favourite worship, we said to him, what's your favourite worship song? And it says, it's a song by Noah Walker. It's by Planet Boom, but anyway, it's by Noah Walker. And then she said, what's your favourite Stan Walker song? And I'm like, I'm thinking, his gospel stuff, that's what I said. But now it's thank you because that's for the song to his mum anyway. I don't even know how I got there, but anyway, how did I get there? So I'm giving her money. So I'm getting Australian dollars, you know, South African rand, which isn't worth anything, but anyway. And the lady starts crying. And the guy next to me, he's crying and he never cries. He's one of our board members. He never cries. He barracks for Essendon. That's the only time he cries, when they lose. But so he's crying. And I'm like, she puts her head down like this for me to pray, lay hands on her. And she's in the front, I'm in the back, and I just speak a blessing over her. You know what connected us? And you know what connects all humanity? Wasn't where I was born, Papua New Guinea, or where I was raised, Adelaide. What connected us was the desire of nations. Each one of us from different backgrounds, different things, had the desire of God living in us that attracted us. You carry the desire of nations. What else do you have in you? You want to know? Six of you, that's great. You have spirit life. Romans 8:10 says, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Just as God raised Christ from the dead, he'll give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. You and I have spirit life. We have the Spirit of God that brings life. Wherever God's Spirit is, life is released. Wherever God's power is, God is released. You are an atmosphere changer. You are a city changer. You are a planet shaker. You are called to bring the Spirit of God. And even when you see, sometimes you say, I get opposed. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It wants to stop you from releasing what God has in your life. Don't get intimidated by that. Just keep loving and believing and releasing what God has in your life. You have the Spirit of God living in you. What else do you have? You have you have resurrection power. What does that mean? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That means you can speak to things that have died, things that have been broken, things that seem impossible, and you can say, no, it's not my fragile clay. It's actually who I carry. God in me, the hope of glory. And so I carry Him. You carry breakthrough. You carry glory. You carry resurrection life. There is greatness in you. And you see, the problem is when we focus on our weaknesses, we live in weakness. When we focus on who God created us to be in His image, you see, when I worship God, I look to God, not from afar. You know what I discover when I worship God? Who I am. Because I'm a reflection of Him. And so if I see He is powerful, that means He lives in me, that makes me powerful with Him. If I see He is loving, that makes me loving because He is loving, He lives in me. You see, what else do you carry? I better hurry. I've got another 9 points. Beauty, you carry beauty and greatness. You know, I heard this the other day, Trish. You did this thing that you do, the fashion thing you do, and there were mothers that you're ministering to and you're prophesying over them and you're giving things, and people going, she's amazing. Why? Because you carry beauty. You carry the beauty of God. You know, beauty, so many people can make the outside look beautiful, but you make the people look beautiful from the inside out. And that's what we are created to be, is to release the beauty of God. You are beautiful, every one of you. The devil says you're ugly. The devil says you're nothing. Life says you're this or that. No. God says you're beautiful. When we worship Jesus, we say how beautiful He is. Well, Jesus lives in you, so that makes you beautiful. So everyone's invited to beautiful conference. God is holy, Romans 8:30. That means you are holy because He's made you holy. God is loving, 1 John 4:8. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God wants you to be releasing love to the world. Love isn't a feeling, it's an action. It's a verb, an action. Old song says, love is a verb. You're there to bring God's love because God's love is in you. If you don't think you're loved, you're not looking at God enough. Because when you see Him, you become like Him. So if I see Him, I know He loves me. So I'm going to keep looking at Him until I feel and understand He loves me. God is loving. God is, my iPad did it again. God is merciful. God is merciful and kind. He's strong, but He's merciful and kind. He's generous and merciful. Psalm 145, 8, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. God is compassionate. He's merciful. But not just that, God is just. So many people want justice, but they want justice from the wrong perspective. God is the judge. He brings justice. And Christians, we should be about justice for the poor, for the needy, for the hurting. If you carry God, you got to release justice to the earth. Let's keep going. God is good. Psalm 86:5. Oh Lord, you are so good. He's not just good, He's so good. So ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. You see, here at Planet Shakers, we believe that God is for you, not against you. So we don't preach against things, we preach for things. We do deal with things that will hurt you, but we preach for things for your future. That's God. He's a God for things. He's not against you, He's for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Religion preaches everything it's against, but God preaches everything He's for. The only thing that Jesus attacked was religion. He never attacked people. He always talked about their future and what they could do. He saw the greatness in them. God is good. God is faithful. He doesn't let you down. God is wise. Psalm 147:5. How great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. So God wants to release his wisdom through you, through me. We carry God. So we carry the wise, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And God wants to release his word of knowledge, word of wisdom to your life so that you and I can walk and face life in wisdom and release wisdom. Let's keep going. God never changes. I love this. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, breakthrough from glory to glory. Yesterday he brought glory. Today he brings glory. Tomorrow he brings glory. Healing to healing. He healed me yesterday, he'll heal me today, he'll heal me in the future. Breakthrough yesterday, breakthrough today, breakthrough in the future. He is the same, he does not change, he's never put off, there's never anything that freaks him out, he's always the same. He's good, he's powerful, he's mighty, he's glorious, he's holy, he's loving, he's just, he's awesome. He never changes. And lastly, God is limitless. He has no limit in him. Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do super abundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, to him be the glory in the church. In other words, he wants his church to represent who's in them, not what their flesh says, but who lives in them. So why churches over the years have become boring, controlling, non-relevant, non-powerful, because the devil loves that, because that shows that the church has no power. It's not something to be a part of. But when a church represents who lives in them, God is fun. God is full of joy. God is full of peace. He's full of love. He's strong. He corrects bad behavior, but he always does it in love. God is all powerful. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. God loves. You know, when we first started many years ago bringing drums into church, people go, ooh, the devil's here. The world is here. What are you talking about? It's just a drum. And then we'd bring in lights and all that, and people are, wow, it's like a club. No, we've just taken back what the club has tried to bring. We don't have to get high on any substance. We don't have to get high on any relationship. We just get to the Most High God, and he takes us higher and higher and higher and higher, and he says, come join the party. I am limitless. I have no limit in me. You know, the only limit we carry is what we accept of God in our lives. In other words, if you don't think God is powerful in you, then you're actually saying he's not powerful at all. Because it's not you that makes you powerful, it's him. If you think you're ugly, you're really saying he's done a bad job. And you're saying he's ugly because he lives in you. So he ain't ugly, so that makes you not ugly. If you think you can't love, you don't have love, yes you do, you have him living in you. And if he lives in you, you are loving. You just got to tap into that God part of you, not your flesh part of you. And you know what worship does? It shows who he is and then reflects who we are. See, Amy, can you come here, please? Thank you. Jono, can you come here, please? Look at you there, Mrs. Walker to be. Look at Jono, he's got his ripcord on. He's gone parachuting. These are my two children who I am in well pleased. Now, they haven't always been angels. I know that's hard to believe. In fact, this awesome girl, they used to hate that I'd tell family stories, but they're older now, so I can tell the stories from a long time ago. This girl here is a fiery one. She's fiery. So her and Noah, like, they're going to create fire all over the world anyway. And so one day she got mad at this. How old? You're about 10, right? And she was about 8. No, younger.
I was like 5.
You're 5 and you're 7. Okay. So she got mad at him. So she picked up a candle about this big, about this wide, and went like this, boom, and threw it in his head. I saw this happening, and the grace of God wasn't with me for a moment. So I had to change the flesh, but I didn't stop believing in the greatness in her. You see, if I'm a dad that wants to see greatness in my children, God so much more wants to see greatness in you. See, Amy led this morning, and I text Sam, my wife, and I said, Amy's doing so good, she's so anointed, and she's so beautiful, just like you. Why? She's reflecting who her mother is. Her brains come from me. Her beauty comes from her mother. No, her mother's smart. But the truth is, they're not perfect, and if I looked at their flesh, I would see their imperfection. But I look beyond their flesh, and I see their purpose and their potential, just like I look at each one of you. But God does that even more. But what I've discovered is, the closer we are as a family together, the more we represent each other. So if that's the truth in the natural, what it is in the supernatural, the closer I am with my Father in heaven, the more I sound like Him, the more I look like Him, the more I operate like Him, and He looks beyond my fragile clay, and He says, I'm going to put treasure in you. How do I discover that treasure? They would never discover their greatness. They're just sitting there as nice children. You can get on the drums now. They would never discover themselves as children of my family without being close to their mother and I. They would never discover that. But how they discover it is by being close, and then they reflect how we are. That's what happens with God. When you worship Him, you get close to Him, and He reflects who He is in you. The problem is, when you get success, sometimes we think it's us. But no, we are just fragile clay jars. It's Him who releases His glory and His power.
Thanks so much for watching. I pray that God really blessed you through this message. You know, we hear testimonies all the time of people that are impacted all around the world. And if you have any prayer requests or a testimony that you want to share, make sure you contact us on all platforms at Planet Shakers. We would love to hear from you. Be blessed. Have an amazing week.